T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We already know that the way many people are catching the novel coronavirus is by getting too close to droplets. You know, someone sneezes or coughs or even, you know, spits while they're talking. But more and more scientists are now saying the virus can also be airborne, that aerosols can hang in the air and float for periods of time. And these scientists want policymakers to act accordingly. So we will go in depth on that. And remember, hydroxychloroquine, the anti-malaria drug that was a favorite of President Trump as a treatment for COVID-19 until several studies seemed to show the drug not only did not help COVID patients, but could actually hurt some of them. Well, new research is giving the hotly debated drug a sort of comeback opportunity.
LAUSD continuing to hedge its bets when it comes to how or whether it's bringing students back to school classrooms in the fall, but clock's quickly ticking down. District has some hard choices to make. Major universities, they're already making some calls, though almost all of them going with the heavy use of remote learning still. But if you're a college student or you're a parent and you're counting on tuition discounts because, you know, there aren't dorms, there's no classroom teaching, well, don't count on getting discounts.
We start, though, with this airborne coronavirus. Dr. Lindsay Mars, professor of civil and environmental engineering and an expert in airborne transmission of viruses at Virginia Tech University. Also, we have with us Jose Luis Jimenez, who is professor of chemistry and biochemistry at the University of Colorado Boulder. Both of you gentlemen, thank you for joining us. Dr. Marr, let's start with you. So let's see very quickly if I got this right. We had been told for quite some time now that primarily the coronavirus, people cough, they sneeze, large drops come out of their nose, their mouth, mostly falls to the floor. Social distancing, wearing masks would keep us relatively safe, but now we're being told that it's possible that smaller droplets that hang out in the air could still make us sick?
Yes. So when people are coughing or even just talking, in addition to those large drops we've been warned about, people also release much smaller ones. They're too small to see. There's probably at least 100 of them for every large one that we do see. And those can float in the air for a while and people can breathe those in. And social distancing and masks also help reduce exposure to those, because if you get farther away from someone, just like if you get farther away from someone who's smoking, you'll breathe in less of that smoke. And then the mask can also help block if someone happens to be infected and they don't know it. If they're wearing a mask, that helps release the amount of droplets and aerosols that they release into the air.
Professor Jimenez, what does that all mean when it comes to the danger level that we all want to worry about as we move forward? Has anything really changed? Is this just a sneakier way that it can get to us so you still have to protect yourself? Because you hear the word airborne and you think, wow, I go outside and this is floating around everywhere.
Yeah, no, we don't think people should fear it. Really, the virus has not changed. It's the same virus that we think has been doing this all along. And really, what we hope is that this can provide better information so we can all be more intelligent and more efficient at blocking the virus.
Okay, but I guess the issue, Dr. Marr, who, by the way, I apologize. Before I said both of you as gentlemen and ma'am, you're clearly not a gentleman. So thank
that's
you.
That's no problem.
Okay. But I guess there is a difference, though, isn't there? Because while he's right that it's the same virus that we've been dealing with for the past few months, What might change is the way that everybody is handling it, right? Because office buildings, for example, schools, is it going to be enough just to have workers and students, you know, spaced 6 or 7 feet apart? Won't we have to do more to change things like air circulation and do perhaps other things to try to minimize or alleviate the virus that's circulating in the air now?
That's correct. I think distancing and masks can go a long way towards helping reduce the risk of transmission, but we also need attention to ventilation of buildings. The more outdoor air we can get circulating through the building, the better it will be, because that will help remove any virus that might be building up in the air. So we definitely need increased attention to ventilation of buildings. And trying to avoid recirculation of air, which can happen with air conditioning units.
Professor Jimenez, do we know how long these aerosolized, tinier droplets can hang out?
Yeah, I mean, that's known since 1930 based on basic physics. I mean, so we think they can hang out minutes to hours, depending on their size. And we also know the virus stops being infective on a time scale of hours, but it will also get diluted with time. So we would say probably the worst is to be on the same airspace with someone who's infected, who's breathing the virus into the air, and it's the same air that you're breathing. We don't think this virus behaves like measles or other viruses, that someone has been in a room and then you come into that room 3 hours later and you can get sick. We think this virus is not as easy to be transmitted through the air.
Okay, so then why is there, and either one of you can tackle this one, why is there even any controversy about this? And I understand that there is controversy with the World Health Organization, that organization is, I guess, somewhat resistant to this concept of the virus being airborne. Why is there controversy at all?
I think there's controversy because there historically has been a bias against airborne transmission. I think part of it is because we're talking about aerosols or microscopic droplets that are smaller than we can see, and it's harder for people to understand how those behave in the air. And also, there was some kind of misinterpretation of some of the older studies from decades ago, where they came up with a certain cutoff size of 5 microns. Doesn't really matter what the number is. And said anything larger than that is considered a large droplet that falls to the ground immediately. The problem with that is that the size that they chose is a droplet or aerosol that can actually remain floating in air for half an hour. So I wouldn't call that something that falls immediately out of the air.
Lindsay Marr at Virginia Tech University and Jose Luis Jimenez at the University of Colorado Boulder. Walk me through as somebody or anybody who is concerned about trying to not catch this virus. What should I now do with this knowledge that it's possibly airborne in addition to all the other things we were told? Should I do anything differently now?
Well, hopefully you've been doing some of these things already, but wearing a good mask will help especially if it has the fabric has a tight weave and multiple layers, and if it fits well, and if you're wearing it covering your nose and mouth any time that you're indoors or in a crowded area outdoors, avoiding crowded indoor spaces, paying very close attention to social distancing. Those are the main things that you can do. If there's any indoor activities that you have scheduled and you have the opportunity to move those outdoors, that can also be helpful.
Professor Jimenez, in practice, I guess, what the doctor there was mentioning, different places, I guess the list starts to include gyms, it starts to include, public transportation. These are all places where you're going to be for a while, where people are breathing, and if something is in the air, that's probably where it's going to be, yeah?
Yes, I mean, but you can protect yourself. You can wear masks, you can open windows. You can minimize the duration and the frequency of the times that you are in these places. So you can still go to some of those places, but trying to minimize the risk.
Yeah, but
the facilities, the bus operator or the gym can change what they do with the ventilation. They can open windows. They can do things to help the situation as well.
Yeah, but here's the problem as I see it. You know, as more and more businesses are trying to get people, employees, to come back to work, most modern office buildings no longer have windows that you can open. I mean, they were designed that way to save energy, in fact, and for years we were told it's better to have these sort of, you know, sealed buildings because it keeps the heat in the winter and it keeps the air conditioning in the summertime. So what are we supposed to do when we have all this expensive real estate where you can't open the windows?
That's true about the buildings. There is a bit of an inherent conflict between energy savings and bringing in air from outdoors, because you don't want to have to keep cooling or heating the outdoor air if you can recirculate what's already in the building. There are things we can do with these buildings that they'll involve more time and effort and cost. It would involve things like changing the direction of airflow so that it's not being carried from one person to the next. There are systems that you can install in heating and ventilation and air conditioning systems that can remove virus and other air pollutants from the air. These include better filtration and UV irradiation. Installing, even if you don't want to go that route, just having a portable air purifier near you that removes particles and droplets from the air, something that has a HEPA filter in it, can also be helpful.
And finally, Professor Jimenez, do we know yet, is this on the same level that like a droplet is, these aerosolized particles? Because at first it seemed like you could get it from droplets, you get it from touching something. And then we scaled back on the touching and people stopped washing their grocery bags and everything they brought home from the store because they weren't as concerned about that. So is the aerosolized on the same level as droplet, or is the droplet still the thing that's going to give it to you the most?
So nobody knows the answer. I think our guess is that it is as important or perhaps more important than the droplets. I don't know what Lindsay would think.
Yeah, we just don't know right now. And because of that, we think, and because of the evidence that we have showing that transmission by aerosols is happening, we think it's important to recognize and control for all these different routes of transmission. So the hand washing remains important, the distancing and the mask and the ventilation, all of these things are steps that we should be taking to help slow the spread of COVID-19.
Let a little air in the house. Lindsay Marr, Virginia Tech. Jose Luis Jimenez, University of Colorado, Boulder. Thanks to you both.